All right. I'd like to talk a little bit about prayer today. I just got a few scriptures, and I'd like to talk about the connection, the relationship that we have with God through our prayer. Particularly, I'm talking about our prayer in tongues or our prayer in English, just as we've done this morning, for most of you, I'm sure. So this scripture particularly, we're going to just read verse 26. I'll read it first, shall I? 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, or in other words, what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And verse 27 says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, but he who makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Apologies. Because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I guess this morning I'm not going to get too deep or anything like that, but I suppose, I think most of you know, a few months ago, what happened in my life and my family's life, and through that, I guess I just want to talk about just a couple of different things I've been thinking about and what the Lord's revealed to me about prayer. I was thinking to myself, oh, should I go there or shouldn't I? And I thought, well, it's good to be honest and it's good to be vulnerable and, you know, really speak freely, just as Paul speaks freely here and just as Jesus does and God does through the scriptures. And something that I've been thinking about a little bit, particularly is verse 27, when I was in a bit of a situation where I was struggling probably to actually find the right words to talk to God about. And this scripture, I believe that the Lord sort of helped me remember or helped me be reminded of, particularly when it says, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. When I'm able to pray in tongues, I'm able to have a conversation to God. And I believe that that conversation and that relationship that I've had with God has grown stronger. And I'm sure that everyone here would be able to relate to that on some level through something. But it's the connection that I feel that is so important in our lives that we can have with God when we actually don't know what to say and how to say it in the most difficult of times or even in the best of times. That the Spirit searches our hearts. You know, I guess it could be in the modern day when we go on a computer or perhaps an app or something similar and we type in some sort of a code, or maybe you don't, maybe someone's done it for you and you hit enter and it just searches the whole... Oh, there you go. Like when you're looking for something on your hard drive, that you press search and it does it for you and you can find exactly what's going on there. Sort of likewise, that the Spirit does that searching for us. I guess the difference is we may not be able to see exactly what the Spirit finds, but in other words, God knows through our Holy Spirit what is going on. And it's not robotic, and that fluid relationship that we can have with God, I think, is so important that we don't sit down and spend 5 hours praying to God, but not really thinking about it or not really engaging with God, that we can literally talk to God like I'm talking to everyone now, or like you're going to talk to someone a bit later, that we can actually have that connection with God and say, well, perhaps God, I'm struggling, or perhaps God, I just want to say thank you for this. I think sometimes we can perhaps get caught in a habit of being a robotic state of mind where we remember how someone else spoke to God in prayer or something and thought, yeah, that sounds good. But are we really connecting with that? And, you know, is that meaningful words to us, or are we kind of saying it because someone else knows how to say it? And the Spirit and our tongues in our relationship with God that way is kind of like sitting down with a friend or a family member and having a deep and meaningful conversation. A D&M, as it were, that we've probably done this camp, that we really open up ourselves to someone else. Well, that's what praying in the Spirit is like with God, and we can get a response from that. Okay, Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Well, how about I start in verse 1 here? Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Verse 3 is the verse I particularly wanted to bring out this morning. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. In another translation, it says, call unto me and I will show you great unsearchable things, the things that we can't really figure out ourselves. And I like that translation. In my Bible here, it actually has the little definition from the Strong's for the word call. I'll just read it how it is. Kara, for anyone taking notes, there you go. To call out to someone, cry out, to address someone, to shout or speak out, to proclaim. It often describes calling out loudly in an attempt to get someone's attention. I want to encourage us today, when we're having our prayer time here or at home or later or whenever it is, when we're having that one-on-one time with God, that we're actually making the call, that we're figuratively picking up the phone and pressing dial, and we're actually having a conversation with God through the Spirit, through English, as it says, in prayer and supplication. Why would we want to waste the opportunity, I suppose, to actually talk to God? I mean, we're here, right, to discover things more, be uplifted. A couple of people have said to me how they're looking forward to coming to camp to be strengthened. Well, why would we not want to have that one-on-one conversation with God and take it further than just in a meeting? I'm sure we know this, of course. It's nice to be reminded. Call to me and I'll answer you. God has the answers for us every single time. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This scripture actually kind of, I suppose, inspired my thoughts about this, but it's become part of a bigger picture, I suppose, for me. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul speaking here, of course, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. The bit that I wanted to highlight there was verse 4, that our spiritual weapons that can pull down strongholds. And I was trying to think about what strongholds kind of mean to us. I guess in a battle age, you know, in a ancient kind of time perhaps, or maybe more modern, but strongholds were probably more ancient, you know, or in war times, where something is built to not come down. And I think sometimes we can build things up in our natural life that perhaps we haven't built them to not come down, but they almost become a stronghold, don't they? I thought of a few things here. I'm sure you guys can think of a few. A big one is pride. I mean, that's talked about quite a bit in the Bible as being it's a big deal to God if we are proud. A commitment to perhaps non-Christian activities, things that, you know, don't necessarily edify us. Perhaps cigarettes and drinking is a problem, perhaps not for many of us here. In fact, I think there would be a lot of people here who could testify that God pulled down that stronghold when they first came to the Lord, or perhaps sometime after. Swearing, having a grudge or being bitter against something, I think that's quite a big one. Temper, having a temper, a short fuse, or being angry, perhaps being jealous. I think for a lot of people around my generation, I guess it's probably spread around, comparing ourselves to other people and looking for that image. I think the image of what we should be is displayed a lot more than it used to be, because there's many more ways of spreading it. These are things that can be in our life that sometimes we can feel like we always come back to. There's a couple of people I talked to recently that have enjoyed deleting a few apps or two that they just decided to just cut it off. Well, Paul's saying here that our spiritual weapons can pull down every single one of those strongholds. So my point here is that when we get to that point where we think about, yeah, man, I just can't get rid of this. Perhaps it's you're resenting a brother or sister in the Lord, or maybe someone that isn't even saved, that you can call to God and he can take that away. That whatever it is, if it's an image thing, or if it's a simple thing in ourself, like I just can't stop swearing. I can't actually stop that habit, that we can call to God every time through the Spirit, and the Spirit does the work for us. And among, you know, tongues among others is obviously a great way for us to pull down these strongholds. I guess tongues is like a bit like a direct line to God versus sending an SMS that, you know, we don't have to type it out in an SMS. We've all probably been there, like, oh, how do I word that? Or whatever, should I make the call or something? Well, Tongues does the SMS for us, and it's perfect every time, isn't it? Okay, my last scripture is back in the Old Testament, Isaiah 64. Thought I'd finish on this one. It's kind of not, it's just branching out just a little bit. Isaiah 64, just one verse here. Kind of struck out to me. I did want to put a couple of pictures up on the screen, but that's fine. It was just a bonus if I could. I was researching, I want to talk about verse 8 here. How about I'll read it again? Come on, mate. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are potter, and all we are the work of your hand. I want to talk about the clay for a moment. I was Googling a few images of clay jars or jugs or whatever it is, and the first thing I noticed was that from the same maker, that all the clay jars were different. That if you look at them, a bit like, I don't know, I haven't actually proven this, but I'm told that all snowflakes are different, all right? They probably are. They are, there you go. But when I was looking at, because I can't see snowflakes, so I can't look at them, but I was looking at some clay jars from the same shop. There's one in Margaret River, I can't remember what they're called, probably clay jar, potter, something like that. They're all different, but they all serve the same purpose. And I thought about that with us, that we all look different, I suppose. We all have our different personalities, but we all serve the same purpose through the Holy Spirit, and then we can all access the same Spirit. And they all have their own imperfections or perfect imperfections. That's an oxymoron for you. And that each sculpture has been created individually, but as I said, it's by the same person. That God understands us all, that God allows us to have that connection with Him just as much as it does everyone else in the room. And that's something that gives me peace, that I don't need to try when I'm having prayer with God or talking to God, that God understands where I go wrong just as much as I do, probably even more. He also understands my strengths more than I do, and that I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about the stronghold. I can just have that direct line with God every time. I suppose, you know, digressing slightly, God made us differently, perhaps as it says, I think it's 1 Corinthians, I think that, you know, we're all one body, many parts. I suppose that maybe that's a reason why God gave us all different imperfections. But when we're all in need, we can all call out to God and He can shape us how He likes, just as the potter, as it says here. We are the clay, you are a potter. We should be willing when we're praying, saying, God, search my heart, find the Spirit, see what it wants to do, and I'm all yours. And everyone said,